Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 65. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you can call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for gathering us together in your name on this beautiful Sabbath morning. We pray that you will touch our hearts as we hear your word proclaimed. We do pray that you will inspire us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Well, on this particular morning, I'm being reflective. Some of you know I've had a very busy week this past week, and if you'll indulge me, I'd like to share, before we get into some of the scripture meetings, share just a few thoughts about this past week. I had two funerals to do. The first was for a man that I had never met, who I was filling in for the pastor at Christiansburg Presbyterian Church. But I had met with his family and felt that I got to know something about the man named Rodney Downs. And then, of course, yesterday, many of you were here as we remembered and honored the life of Mark Femright, one who I had gotten to meet and got to know briefly, but not well, but yet well enough to feel that I had some understanding of Mark's character. But what struck me as I was reflecting last night is how both of these individuals that I was called to participate in remembering them and honoring them this past week, both of them had an extreme love for life. And both of them did things that were somewhat non-traditional. And they did it because they had confidence. They had confidence in themselves, in their faith, and in the way that they viewed the world. And it was refreshing. It was truly, truly refreshing. I wanted to share once again, if some of you have not seen this or read it, or if you were not here yesterday, the portion of the obituary that Mark Femwright wrote for himself. He wrote this, and I just wanted to share this one paragraph with you because it's extraordinary. He says, "I'm writing this because I don't want anyone to feel sad, but instead to celebrate life. As life goes on, we all have a limited warranty. My warranty ran out, but you'll never see me in a coffin because I believe in recycling. I have no regrets. I always wanted to be a father and am proud of all my children. I am proud watching them raise my grandchildren. I earned a PhD in raising kids and am proud of the life I've lived with Sherry and my grandchildren, my little diamonds who are still growing. Keep in touch with people. Don't lose touch with Sherry, who has been my rock. Stay active and keep your mind rolling. These are my thoughts, Mark." And I thought, that's amazing to be able to face death and to write something like that that says to us, love life, celebrate, don't be sad. And then I wanted to share with you a story that Rodney Downs' wife and two sons shared and wanted me to share with the people that attended his funeral on Thursday, because again, it's a funny story, it's delightful, but it also talks about someone who just simply loved life and lived life a little non-traditionally. It says that they used to take, first of all, let me just tell you that Rodney Downs was an elementary school teacher in Christiansburg for 27 years. He taught in the same classroom for 27 years. And his students loved him. And if you had seen all of the messages that his family had received from former students, when they talked about how much they loved him and how they thought he was the greatest man who had ever lived. And it was all because of the way that he taught them. And it says that he made sure that every day they got to go outside for recess. Even if the weather was bad, they went outside. And sometimes they had to sneak out because it was against the rules, but he made sure that they went outside every day. And it was obvious that he was well loved. But this story is about his family, and his son was telling me this, that they used to take a trip every summer from Christiansburg to Vermont, where Mr. Downs had been raised. And this particular summer, they thought they were going to do the same trip from Virginia to Vermont. But on the spur of the moment, Rodney Downs decided to take a side trip. He was still going to Vermont, but he was just going to go out of the way a little bit because he wanted to see the Ozark Mountains. And so they took off for the Ozarks. Well, as they tell the story, they were not rich people. They were traveling in a 61 Rambler Ambassador. They had to camp. They did car camping, where they slept in the car and around the car. And it says that one morning as they were on their way, some man came along and said, "If you want to catch the ferry, you have to hurry." And so it said Rodney hurried his family and got everything put back in the car, and they hurried and they caught the ferry. And after they were on their way, Mrs. Downs said to Rodney, "Where is this ferry going?" And Rodney said, "Well, I didn't ask." Well, as it turns out, they had crossed the Mississippi River. And so once they got across the river, Rodney looked at the map and said, "You know, the Grand Canyon doesn't look far from here." And so they went to the Grand Canyon. And according to their son, their trip from Christiansburg to Vermont went by way of the Ozarks, the Mississippi River, the Grand Canyon, the Painted Desert, the Continental Divide in Colorado, into Canada, and back into the United States through Niagara Falls. And ultimately, they ended up at their original destination of Vermont. And the moral of that whole story was that was all done on the spur of the moment, because Rodney Downs loved life and he was not constrained by all of the expectations that other people had. He was confident in his own skin, and he did and lived life the way he saw fit. And as we saw yesterday with the enormous turnout of people here for Mark, and again in Christiansburg for Mr. Downs, people respond to that way of living our lives. And so that's part of the reason that I wanted to share that, was when we look at our scripture passage this morning, it is that we do have a hope in God that allows us to have that kind of freedom, that kind of ability to live our lives with some confidence and to be able to live a life that we deem fit. As long as we are remaining faithful to God, we know that we really have nothing to worry about. In the letter to the Romans, Paul is talking about being justified through our faith. He's making it clear that it is not by works that we are saved, but it is through our faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. And just as a reminder, what does this word justification mean? Well, it means being made right, being brought into right relationship with God. And that's really what we're talking about. When we're able to live a life that is free, a life that is impulsive in many ways, it's because we are in right relationship with God, and we know that we are on solid ground. We know that even if we live our lives that's a little different from the way society expects us to live it sometimes, it's okay, because we are in right relationship with God. I want to remind you that the Presbyterian Church, being a Reformed church, a part of the Reformed tradition, we believe in four primary tenets of the Reformed faith, of Reformed theology. And those four tenets are the sovereignty of God, the authority of Scripture, justification by grace through faith, and the priesthood of all believers. And what those mean, first of all, we believe number one is the sovereignty of God. By that we say that we believe that God created everything, and God is in charge of everything. God is in control of everything. And that as a result of that, we can live in that kind of confidence if we have faith in God. Not only did God create everything, but God cares for his creation. We believe in the authority of Scripture. We believe that our faith has to be based on something, something that stands the test of time. And so therefore, our theology is based on Scripture. Justification by grace through faith. That is exactly what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Romans. That is that we are saved by our faith, by the grace of God. It is not through the works that we do. It is only by faith. And then fourth, of course, is the priesthood of all believers, which means that no one stands between us and God. There is no hierarchy in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are all equal. We all have equal access to God. We all have equal access to God's grace. And that is what makes us, as a Reformed church, on solid ground. And it also, if we believe all of this, it gives us that freedom to be able to live with hope So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, we can have that real peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it is because of our faith he has brought us into this place of highest privilege. It's the place where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to becoming all that God has in mind for each of us, because we have placed our faith and our confidence in God and God's grace. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. And we can do that because we know that we know what's going to happen. We can anticipate that we're going to have trials and tribulations in our lives. God has prepared us for that. We know it's going to happen. But through those trials and tribulations, our faith can grow. Our character can become stronger. Our patience can develop, and our strength of character can become greater. And as a result of that, each day we have the opportunity to become stronger and greater and more bold in our faith. In our scripture this morning, Paul gives assurance to the church in Rome that God's promises are fulfilled through Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection, as well as the Holy Spirit. And how does Paul get this message across? First, he explains the real peace they, and by they I'm also saying we, can have with God as a result of our faith. We are whole in God's sight because no matter what others say and do, no matter what happens to us and around us, we believe in God's promises. And real peace is not something that we automatically wake up with in the morning. Sometimes real peace with God is a blood, sweat, and tears process that requires of us an active cultivation of our relationship with God. It's not something that just happens overnight. It's not something that is handed to us and then we don't have to work at it. What I continually have to remind myself and sometimes others that I counsel is that if we truly want to grow spiritually, to grow in our faith, it takes effort. It does indeed take effort. It means that we have to spend time in prayer, time in the Word, time in meditation, and also we believe, according to the book of James, that if we are experiencing all of that goodness out of being justified by faith, it also means that we're going to feel the call to serve others. We are not saved by our works, but we are called to do good works because we have been saved by God's grace. And so all of that requires effort on our parts. Now, Paul tells the believers in Rome that because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he brings them to a place of highest privilege, and they stand there presently. So whatever their place or station in life, in whatever circumstance they find themselves, they can rest assured that God gives them special honor and freedom now. And because of this, they can boldly and joyously anticipate developing into the complete person God always intends for them and for us to be. For all of us, following Paul's message to the Romans means that becoming all God intends for us to be begins now. This too is part of the real peace that we have with God. It is not some abstract theological doctrine for preachers to preach about. It is about the way each one of us, as believers in Jesus Christ, who are now justified in the eyes of God, it's about how we live our lives and use the gifts that God has given us. And Paul continues his message to the Romans with words about life's challenges and hardships. When we face problems, he says, rejoice, bring them on. Paul says that Our faith takes the sting out of our problems. He deflates them by saying that they are good for us. The strains and frictions in life help us grow stronger and build our character, and especially our capacity to have endurance and staying power, resilience and fortitude. And having these characteristics is what is required of us to live without complaint. But we can do this only if we develop an abiding sense of the presence of God in our lives. So this is really an amazing story. This particular passage is short and simple. It basically says that if we want to have that true hope in God, if we want to be able to live our lives the way that we feel comfortable living them, if we don't have to worry about our status in life, our financial status, whatever it is that we might feel the pressures of society, if we have true hope in God, we can live our lives the way that we choose. And in the end, perhaps we too can say, we have lived a life and we have no regrets. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So thank you for allowing me to just indulge you this morning in a bit of reflection and reminiscence of this past week. This past week is one of those weeks that makes me realize why I have been called by God to serve, because I have walked with two incredible families who have experienced loss, but also have experienced so much from the loss of their loved ones. And we, of course, have experienced that here in our own congregation over this past year. And indeed, we all hope that we can reach that point in our lives when we face the final time, we can say we have no regrets. That's my thoughts for today. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so grateful for your grace, the reason that we are now able to live a life that is full, a life that is carefree from all of the pressures of the world around us, if only we are able to focus on you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that hope, that eternal hope that comes with living a life that is justified by your grace. Lord, we thank you for the goodness of this church. We thank you for the way you have allowed us to be together as a family, to celebrate the lives of good people, to be able to come together in times of trial and tribulation. Lord, I know that this church has been through many trials over the years, many of which I have no idea myself. But we know that you have always blessed this church. And so we thank you, Lord. We pray that you will give us direction, that you will guide us as we move into the future. And Lord, this morning we lift up to you those who need your grace, who need your love and your compassion. We have mentioned the names of Janet Chin, Betty Getgood, Kim Richards Huerta. We pray for Vestal Whitlock. We pray for Mama Sally Martin. We pray for Martin Hilton. We pray for Jane Zitta. And Lord, we do pray for the family of Mark Femright. We pray that they will feel your presence and your compassion and love. We lift all of this to you, Lord, knowing that you are indeed a God greater than we can comprehend. But for that, we are so grateful. We bow humbly before you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.